Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Melanie, you wanted to go in a bit of a different direction this evening with a story about adolescence and the idea that it is basically a social construct?
Right. So, and this is something I've kind of said for the past 10, 15 years, and nobody believed me because I didn't have a PhD in psychology from Harvard, right. So rightfully they shouldn't. But this guy does, Dr. Epstein.
Well, just because somebody has a PhD doesn't mean you should believe them either.
Well, if they have a PhD in what they're saying, what they're speaking on, like if he was speaking on chemistry, we shouldn't believe him because he studied psychology. So.
Sure, but people with PhDs can still have an agenda, right? They can still manipulate statistics or, you know, set up a study in a way that could glean certain results that they were looking to find. I mean, you still have to be skeptical of what somebody says, even if they've got the doctor.
Well, right, but this guy who studied it for 6 years versus me who just said, I really feel this way.
No doubt. It's going to give some credence. Yeah, it's going to give some credence to what the guy has to say. I'll give you that.
Then he goes into the history of work restrictions on young people, mm-hmm. That those are a fairly recent thing.
As in, like, within the last half a century, kind of
recent?
Yeah,
in the 60s, he says, when right. It really got bad, it didn't start until the 30s.
Well, the big excuse for that, and I want to hear what he has to say about it, but the big excuse is, well, we don't want kids to, you know, lose their arms in factory work. It's dangerous out there in the working world. We got to protect
children.
Well, if
people are routinely losing their arms at a particular job, maybe that's not a safe job for anybody, whether they're 15 or 40. But that's kind of a separate issue.
Well, the argument would, I think, then further be that somebody who's older might have more situational awareness about, you know, putting themselves in danger from having arms ripped out of their sockets and caught in big gears and things like that.
I mean, that's completely individualistic.
Sure.
I mean, but
anyway, go ahead with what
and not all jobs are highly dangerous.
No, certainly
factory
not.
Jobs.
I've worked since I was 4 years old. I could barely walk, and my father ran a construction company and used to take me out and work me like a full grown man. And there are some bad things about that, though.
Like what?
I think that people need to be careful because the type of work you put a child through can wear out their body at an early age.
Okay.
I'm only 38 years old now, and I feel like I'm about 70.
Well, so I mean, working construction is a, you know, just a generally a brutal form of labor that is going to, you know, wear somebody out. That's just, no matter what age you start working construction, it's going to do a number on you. From the construction people I've known, that's what they've told me.
Yeah, exactly. And I've done concrete construction all my life, and they say that, you know, most concrete guys are done by about the age 50. Well, if you think most people start working about 18, then that would explain why my body's shot at 38.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a good thing for children to learn. You just got to kind of use your own discretion as a parent as to what you allow them to do. I mean, I had my first pickup truck at 9. I was driving.
Wow.
And I used to clean out a small orchard for my neighbor and make money, and it taught me how to run a business.
Can you reach the pedals at age 9?
Yeah, and I used to sit on a small pillow like what you, it was a Chevy Love with it was 4 or 5 speed on the floor.
Uh-huh. Can't have a bank account unless your parents co-sign it with you, which means, of course, if your parents aren't trustworthy, they then have
right,
full
so
then access.
Right, so you still can't have a bank account. Right. You can just be a signer on your parents' bank account. So, yeah, so he can't. So if you have
My girlfriend, who was a teenager, still is, but anyway, she's not my girlfriend anymore, but she was
she was 20 now.
She's 20. I guess you're right. She is 20 now. But anyway, she when she was a teenager, she had this one of these shared bank accounts, and her parents would just take money out of it. So, like, you know, how are you supposed
to
do anything?
Yeah, I mean, just having a bank account with anybody who you're not married to is not really, like, the world's best idea. But if you need a bank account and you're underage, you're kind of screwed.
If your mom or dad is an alcoholic, a drug addict of some sort, somebody who's really bad with money, you can't achieve any savings unless you put it in Bitcoin.
Yeah, or what? Well, it, I mean, you, and that's fairly recent too.
Yes,
so
very recent.
What I would
tell
people,
that's going to be a game changer for a lot of
what
teenagers.
I would tell 18-year-olds when they ask me is, you know, why do I need a separate account? Why can't I just keep the one I have? I've had it since I was 14 or whatever. It has my parents' name on it. I'm like, do you trust your parents? And some of them would be like,
many
yeah.
Of them are like,
I'm
no.
like, do you trust your siblings? Well, what does that have to do anything with anything? Your parents are going to die,
mm-hmm.
and that money's in their name.
You've got more from Dr. Robert Epstein, and he's was talking about his 15-year-old son, who he says is ready for, you know, the next stage in life. He's an adult by Dr. Epstein's, you know, vision or his viewpoint. But the state and the system and society just won't let him. Tell us more.
Right. So then he decided to research some stuff. Were people always like this? And he says at one point, like, he doesn't think that the human race would have survived if we always had this limit of 18, because people got married much younger, they had kids much younger. Like, if everybody had to wait till they were 18 to even start working, he says he thinks we probably would have died off a long time ago.
Right.
Which, I don't know if that's entirely true, but it's...
Well, people were dying at much younger ages a long time ago, and what, 35 would have been kind of old age. Way
right.
back in the
Although
day.
If you're not working at all, I mean, like, getting food is work. So, yeah, if people just weren't working until they were 18, they probably would have all starved to death at some points in human history.
So what else does Epstein have to say?
So then he went into the labor laws and the truancy laws that they kind of grew up gradually over time. He said what I said about the Supreme Court. They outright stated that they were requiring public school to Americanize people, not to educate people. He doesn't cite the case, but I remember reading that in law school.
Labor laws, he says they've gotten worse over time, right? Does he give any specific examples? It seems like you are kind of doing an overview, which is fine, but, I mean, is there anything specific?
Well, this article is kind of an overview, so then he says...
Because we know that, that for instance, labor laws make it even harder for teenagers to work depending on how young they are. So you can legally work, at least the last time I looked at the laws when I was younger, you can legally work at 14, but almost no one
but
wants
really
to hire you.
But you really can't because you have to take, like, I know in Louisiana you would have to take a half hour break every three
right.
hours. You
right.
could only work between, like... 8 a.m. and 7 p.m.
That's why they don't want to hire you.
So it's like they make you unemployable.
Exactly.
But the reason why I'm calling you, Ian, is that I want to thank you for, over the years, for taking my call. Today my mom died. Her name was Sandra. I know you used to joke a lot about that, but I don't hold that against you.
I didn't joke about your mom dying,
I know.
Obviously.
She died today at 10, 11 a.m. in the morning.
I'm sorry to hear that. Was she in the hospital,
and,
or did it just
No, she
happen?
Died in the hospital, and... I'm going to be emotional, and I'm going to lose
okay.
my composure, but I really don't care. All the anti-Semitic remarks that I have said on your program over the years, I apologize.
Wow.
My dad died 4 months ago, August 4th, 2017. My mom died today, December 4th, 2017. I have no brothers or sisters or no family. So, it's going to be time for me to leave. And
where are you going? What do you mean, time for you to
I'd
leave?
I'd like to go to London. That's
okay.
where I'm going to go. I'm going to go to London, the greatest city in the world. And
have you ever
you
been
know,
there before?
I've been there many times
okay.
before. And it's a great city. It really is. And I know I've said bigoted things. I'm very bitter about a lot of things. And... it's true, I am a mama's boy. Today I got to see her for the last Aww. Time. I kissed her, I said I loved you, Mom. And I'm going to bury her Wednesday.
Scott, no longer a bigot, perhaps? I appreciate hearing from you, and good luck. Wow. That is a surprise. mean, he's called this show for, I don't know, the last 7 years or something like that. There was a long period where he didn't call. There were a few years where he didn't call. And then recently he's been calling again within the last year. I don't know, 7 years, maybe more. And he's just always been so vitriolic, so negative. And to hear that change, I hope it's permanent. I hope that that he's come to those conclusions for good.
Yeah.
You don't have the same history with him
I've only been on here for a year and a half, something like that. Yeah.
You've heard his calls. Any comments? I mean, besides...
Yeah, I mean, that's a really unfortunate thing to happen. I don't know if he's still listening or not. Yeah, I mean, people who are angry tend to be mostly angry at themselves, and that doesn't mean that whoever they're angry at mm-hmm. isn't a valid target. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't.
Sure.
Racial groups never are.
Tell me more.
So then he's kind of responding here to people who say that, you know, the teenage brain is immature or something's wrong with it or whatever.
Yep, they'll say that.
He says, are young people really inherently incompetent and irresponsible? The research I conducted with my colleague, Diane Dumas, suggests that teenagers are as competent as adults across a wide range of adult abilities, and other research has long shown that they are actually superior to adults on tests of memory, intelligence, and perception. The assertion that teenagers have an immature brain that necessarily causes turmoil is completely invalidated when we look at the anthropological research from around the world. Anthropologists have identified more than 100 contemporary societies in which teenage turmoil is completely absent.
Really?
Most of these societies don't even have terms for adolescence.
Huh.
Even more compelling, long-term anthropological studies initiated at Harvard in the 1980s show that teenage turmoil begins to appear in societies within a few years after these societies adopt Western schooling practices and are exposed to Western media.
Oh, okay.
Finally, a wealth of data shows that when young people are given meaningful responsibility and meaningful contact with adults, they quickly rise to the challenge and their, quote, inner adult emerges.
Starts to come out. That makes sense, and that goes back to one of the things I was saying in the last hour. You know, these young people are people too. It's just that they've been childized, basically, by society placing all these rules and restrictions on them.
I was calling about Melanie's conversation last week. I really appreciated her taking the position that you guys take on the cop issue. And I just had a thought. The way I explain it to people,
well, Melanie's position is not my position. Just to
right,
be clear.
So that is two different positions.
Go
that's
ahead.
True. That's true. And I think I agree with both of you. I agree that, you know, violence isn't going to solve the issue,
okay.
And people shouldn't go out there and just shoot cops for no reason. But I think the way to explain it to people is that individuals need to be protected when they exercise their rights, no matter who is violating them, if that person has a special costume on or not. And the thing I try to tell people is that if you're on a jury and someone is up for murder because they defended themselves against a police officer, I don't have any problem with them, you know, voting that person not guilty.
Okay.
And I think it kind of puts it in the perspective of...
Before you go on, I agree with you in that case. If they're defending themselves against the attack of a police officer, I agree that somebody should vote not guilty in that case. So like a great example of this would be, there have been many of these examples where somebody is having their home raided and they shoot at the intruders. And it turns out the intruders are the police. They end up getting charged, even though in any other circumstance they would have been seen as defending themselves against home invaders. Because it's the police, they end up getting charged criminally. So I totally agree. Not guilty should happen in that circumstance.
If you can put a controversial subject into an individual situation where there's a jury and you know, are you going as an individual to convict this person for defending themselves or not? Another way to put it is kind of take it into the realm of foreign policy where, you know, I ask people sometimes, do you believe that, you know, people in the Middle East have a right to fight back against armed occupants in their country? Mm-hmm. And it kind of disarms people because they haven't thought about it that way. If you just take it to the point of like, oh, well, I think, you know, people should be able to, you know, shoot cops, even though it's not a good idea, this or that, it kind of puts people in a defensive position, but mm-hmm. if you put it into a different scenario, a lot of most libertarians I know of would say, yeah, I wouldn't convict a person if they stood their ground, you know, if they were getting pulled over for no reason. And even speeding and stuff like that, victimless crimes. At a certain point, society has to get to a point where they empower people to stand up for their rights, no matter who is aggressing against them.
I agree with you there. I think that if we want to get to that point, though, we've got to get libertarians to move to one place. I mean, because we just don't have enough people, even within the liberty movement, who, you know, can agree on these things.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
A Michigan man who attempted to protest a $10 traffic fine by paying it with pennies is seeking damages after court officers allegedly responded by beating him and choking him to the point of defecation. Anthony Seavey decided to pay his bill with cash after receiving a $10 parking ticket in Royal Oak in February and learning the city would charge him an additional $1.75 if he used a credit card to do it. Seavey brought $10 in rolled-up pennies to the district
courthouse. Also, it wasn't even like a pile of pennies.
Yeah, it wasn't even loose. Rolled pennies.
I mean, that's not even much of a protest. Right. That's just a regular type of currency.
Yeah, that is not a protest. But nonetheless, according to his attorney, Jonathan Marco, the clerk wasn't too happy about that. They refused to allow him to pay with penny rolls, Marco told Detroit TV station WJBK. Now, one of the purported reasons for this, I don't know if they gave this reason, but, you know, we've seen enough stories about people paying with change. One of the purported reasons is that the bureaucrats don't want to have to count the pennies, number one, but number two, they claim they don't know what's in the rolls. Quote, part of Mr. Supreme's long-standing campaign platform is centered on socialized distribution of equine companions, which some have interpreted as commentary, satire, and political parody about a political system that rewards candidates who promise free benefits without discussing cost or practicality. And so what happened was Vermin Supreme wanted to go tomorrow is when this was supposed to happen and may still happen. But tomorrow, Tuesday, December 5th, Hillary Clinton is apparently on a book tour. So apparently she's already hammered out a book called What Happened. And apparently it's about the 2016 election. So she's capitalizing on her loss and now is trying to make money.
I'm not sure which of these two people are more ridiculous.
Hillary Clinton or Vermin Supreme?
Yeah, and at least in this particular instance.
So Clinton has a book. She's going on a book tour, book signing tour. She's going to be showing up at a bookstore in Concord, New Hampshire tomorrow at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon and doing a book signing. Now, Vermin Supreme wanted to come to that location, not inside the bookstore. Obviously, it's private property, and they probably would not want to let him in. But to be on, let's say, the sidewalk or nearby on public property outside of the bookstore, where, of course, you know, if you're on public property, you should have a right to engage in freedom of speech. He asked the government bureaucrats about the permits and was told that by one bureaucrat that normally he would be given permission to have. Oh, by the way, he wanted to bring ponies. This is an important aspect.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a little bit different.
Why?
Well, because if you're just having a bunch of horses, yeah. You know, like that.
He wanted to bring two ponies because, again, that's his campaign platform. It's a big part of his message is socialized ponies.
Yeah, he planned this lawsuit because they're that.
You think so?
Yes, that's my my opinion. But yeah, cause now saying that you have to accommodate horses is a little bit different than just I'm going to stand outside and say things.
Well, either way, the bureaucrat they claim in the lawsuit, the bureaucrat admitted that normally they would grant the permit, that there was no special permit necessary to have ponies necessarily. Like, there's no prohibition against having a pony in the street with you in the city of Concord. Because in theory, you should be able to ride a horse around if you want to. Like, sometimes you see people doing that. Not in Concord, but, you know, just in New Hampshire, you'll see that sometimes. And so he said there were no general restrictions on having ponies outdoors at that location, and that ordinarily he would grant the permit to have the ponies at that location. They're also demanding a trial by jury. So, Melanie, you are going...
By tomorrow?
No, it's not going to happen by tomorrow. In fact, rumor has
it... But for an injunction, the event's tomorrow, right?
It is. Maybe they were hoping for, ex parte hearing or something like that, where the judge could grant a preliminary injunction. I don't know.
Well, you can get a preliminary injunction if he hasn't had one by now. It doesn't
it's
look
like
too he's
going
to get one.
Well, that doesn't mean he's not going to be there tomorrow. There's still a good chance that Vermin Supreme is going to show up. And we'll tell you more about that as the situation develops. But, Melanie, you were going to give us your legal opinion as somebody who actually went to law school. Now, you did study criminal law, didn't you?
Right. So I wouldn't say I'm in any way...
You're more qualified than probably most people listening, though. Certainly more than me.
Than most people listening, probably. I'm assuming most people listening aren't trained
civil
in
attorneys.
Law at all.
Yeah.
But... I don't know. I'm always careful not to kind of like oversell that when I'm out of my like field. Like, I know a little bit about this, but that doesn't mean I don't know just enough to like mess it up.
See, this is a problem with permitting, is that it takes away, you know, as I was saying before, if you ask permission for something, you're not exercising your rights. What my experience has been with, and I've never asked for a permit to do anything as far as protest, as far as event in a public park or whatever. We used to actually throw what we called Free Keen Fest. So before there was Keenvention, which was an actual weekend-long convention that we did for a few years here in Keene, there was Free Keen Fest, and it would happen some years it was once a year. Early on, it was twice a year. We had like a spring and a fall thing. And what we would do was just go down to Railroad Square, which is one of the parks in downtown Keene, right in the heart of downtown, basically. And we would just set up without a permit. We would put up tents, you know, like canopy tents, and people would sell food or whatever their wares were that they wanted to sell. Nobody asked for a permit to do anything. We had open gambling. We had a table with cash gambling going on. There was amplified music without, you know, a permit. We just went there and we did it. And there was one year early on when they actually did come up and ticket me and Toby Islin, who they perceived to be as the primary organizers of the event. And ultimately, they ended up dropping those charges. One of the other interesting stories posted at freekeen.com, a story that I've been following for a while now, a number of years. Of course, that's how long these things take to make it through the court system. A man named Alfredo Valentin was arrested a few years back inside his own home for recording the Manchester Police Department on his phone in his house while they were raiding his home. And the reason they were raiding his house is I think he had a tenant or maybe a family member, Christopher Chapman, different last name, so probably a tenant. But they were looking for not Chapman himself. They'd already arrested him. So he was in custody. Christopher Chapman, they were looking for drugs that purportedly some heroin, I believe, was the alleged drug here that Chapman, they believed he had. Ultimately, the police did not find anything in their search, but that didn't stop them from firing incendiary devices through the property's windows, kicking in the doors, and entering the property SWAT style with semi-automatic weapons and damaging property and terrifying two women who were still in the house and creating an unjustifiable risk of accidental death or injury, according to the suit brought by the Civil Liberties Union of New Hampshire. Attorney Gilles Bissonnette from the New Hampshire Civil Liberties Union, He had this to say, quote, "The settlement recognizes that the right of citizens to observe and record the police is a critical check on the use of power and force by law enforcement. The police need to understand that individuals who are recording their work without interference have a constitutional right to do so, and it is not cause for their arrest." So I am happy to see this case end the way that it did. Obviously, you know, it's traumatic to go through what this man went through with his door being kicked in and grenades being fired through the windows of the property. That's pretty terrifying. But nonetheless, he's come out $275,000 ahead. And ultimately, my question is, what will it take for these bureaucrats, these police bureaucrats, to actually stop arresting videographers?
Well, I mean, the same thing that it's going to take to get rid of the state, just maybe on a specific, you know, more specific level, I guess. I mean, they have no real, unless something happens to them, I mean, they're not paying this out. I mean, they don't have that kind of money.
But at some point, don't you think that somebody in the city government's going to say, hey, guys, cut it out. This is costing us. And yeah, we can keep raising taxes, but ultimately, you know, this needs to stop. Kudos to the New Hampshire Civil Liberties Union, by the way. I mean, these guys do really great work. It's the ACLU, their branch in New Hampshire. They, I think that as far as like different groups of activist type, you know, political people, the NHCLU or the ACLU of New Hampshire is one of the best, like one of the top two groups here in New Hampshire, as far as across the board, they are pro-liberty on almost everything. There's very rarely a time with which I will disagree with their position on an issue. They're really good. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there, they don't like the ACLU for whatever reason. Ultimately, they're one of the, at least here in New Hampshire, they're one of the most consistent and principled and pro-freedom groups that we have lobbying the state government. And they do more than lobbying the state government. They'll go and talk to state legislators in their hearings and argue in favor of freedom on a lot of issues, a lot of civil liberties issues. But they'll also sue and, you know, protect people's rights in court. So I think from that aspect, they're even probably arguably better than the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance, which is also another good organization. I'm a life member of the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance. So, I mean, I got nothing against them, but they're only political. You know, they don't engage in suing to protect rights either. So kudos to the New Hampshire Civil Liberties Union. I think they do some great work.
If you want to make the telephone lines just blow up with people on Free Talk Live, all you have to do is say that free people should be able to cross the borders of free countries freely, or you don't have free people in free countries.
Well, that's that does seem to be the case. It's a very controversial topic, but that's essentially the libertarian position. You should have a presumption in favor of the freedom to move, and that should include for citizens and non-citizens, citizen rights. That's a separate issue. The right to vote is a separate issue, but the basic liberty to move and live where you want should not be something that the government should restrict just because you were born somewhere else.
Now, I have heard many, many times, never backed up with any evidence, but I've heard many times people say, and usually it'll be sort of conservative guys that'll say this, but maybe they come from the left too that say it, but that show me the nation state that has existed in the past that didn't have immigration restrictions, as though the appeal to history is, you know, somehow makes sense. I do it in my own mind. I appeal to history all the time, but
sure.
I mean, I've tried to think about it, and well, I think that passports and all that stuff is a World War One creation.
That's right. Before World War One, the United States had almost entirely open borders. The only restrictions prior to the 1880s were for people who were criminals.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.